Animation has a long history of sharing the screen with live action, as you can see here with The Enchanted Drawing, the first piece of animation ever put to film. The magic of animation from its foundation was about bringing these two-dimensional characters to life, not just on the page, but in the real world. And nowhere has that been done better than in Robert Zemeckis and Richard Williams' 1988 film, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? So today I want to look at the three fundamental elements in integrating animated characters with a live-action environment, and what made Roger Rabbit stand out from the rest of them. The first, and probably the simplest from a technical perspective, is eyeline. Eyeline's important for a number of reasons. It establishes an emotional connection with the animated character and the actor, it sets a blocking reference for the animators, and it also convinces the audience that both characters are occupying the same dimensional space. And when the effect works, it's a seamless interaction, but when it doesn't, the actors seem to be blankly staring at a dead space, which is the case with a lot of the animated scenes in Mary Poppins. You can see her eyeline never quite connects with the other characters, and no matter how beautifully animated those penguins are, it still breaks the illusion. Now, let's look at this scene from Roger Rabbit where Eddie and Roger arrive outside of Maroon Studios. Roger's character model stands roughly 3 feet tall, and you can see here Bob Hoskins actually misses his eyeline. Same mistake as Mary Poppins. But the animators used a creative workaround to correct it, having Roger stand up on his toes against the wall, making him a bit taller to reconnect the eyes. And there are a lot of clever moments like that throughout the film. Here, Roger's hand comes up higher as he jumps on the bed because that's where Hoskins was looking in the shot. And a lot of these gestures were done out of necessity, since reshoots were absolutely not an option. The live-action portion of the film had to be shot in its entirety before a single frame of animation could be done, because the animation was drawn directly on the photostats. So that meant any contact made by a toon had to be 100% premeditated. Which brings us to element number two, physical interaction. With any level of interaction, no matter how small or how large, chairs bumping, windows crashing, plates shattering, the special effects division had to develop a custom mechanism to mimic that movement. And a lot of times, those mechanisms were specific to one single effect. Baby Herman's cigar, for instance, was manipulated by a copycat system with servo-controlled motors in order to create all 6 degrees of movement. Something that couldn't have been done with string and marionettes. And it would have been much simpler to just use an animated cigar or have the weasels carry animated guns, and most people wouldn't notice. But there are rules that govern the universe of Roger Rabbit. If Roger's drowning in real water, then he spits up real water. And every little detail like that serves as a reminder to the audience that yes, these characters are inhabiting this world. Just look at this shot of Roger on his soapbox. It looks as if every slight shift in weight has an equal reaction, when in reality, it's the reaction influencing the movement. It's part of the reason Roger's such a klutz throughout the film. It gave the production team more excuses for him to interact with the environment. It's about blending the mediums, not just sandwiching them together. And far too often with live-action animation hybrids, characters exist almost exclusively in separate planes. If we look at this scene with Eddie and Jessica, she's on his lap, in his coat, she grabs his hat. She has real presence and weight, and that's what sells the illusion. But if we compare that to a similar scene in Ralph Bakshi's 1992 film Cool World, you'll see there's nothing really connecting these two characters. I could cut out Holly with a pair of scissors and nothing would change. You can also see how subtle camera movements make it seem like Holly's locked to the front of the lens, almost floating against the background. And the separation between the character and the environment becomes very obvious. Which is why historically there was an unwritten rule amongst animators who mix mediums to keep the camera stationary. And there was really only one reason for this rule.
Because they're lazy. You know, I mean, we're supposed to be able to turn things in every direction. That's our job. So you can shoot your movie and we'll just fit the character in. He said, well, isn't that a lot of work? Yeah, twice as much work.
Camera movement is an essential part in making these moments feel cinematic. And the animated element in Roger Rabbit never compromised that movement. It's shot like a real film because it is a real film. And you have to remember, this synchronization of the characters against the camera was done before the age of digital compositing. So there was no tracking software to account for the movement to keep the characters in corresponding motion. This was all accomplished by eye and by hand. Not only drawing each frame, but drawing each frame in perspective. And that becomes a lot more impressive when you consider the layer build of each character. Which brings us to the third and final element, shadow, or more specifically, light and shadow accuracy, and this is what set Roger Rabbit apart from its predecessors. Each tune is their own individual layer, but there are also at least 5 additional cells of shadow and highlight layers for each character in each frame, built up like a watercolor painting. Starting with a mask as a backlight, then a shadow mat painted with hard edges and then soft-ended in the optical printer, a second shadow mask as a cast shadow, an inner positive, and an articulate mask for any physical interaction with the character. And when composited together, it gives a realistic three-dimensionality to the characters. Now, keep all those layers in mind when watching this scene.
You said you'd never take another toothcase. What'd you have, a change of heart?
Nothing's changed. Somebody's made a patsy out of me, and I'm gonna find out why.
This is called bumping the lamp, a phrase coined by Disney during the production of Roger Rabbit to describe going above and beyond what was expected of the animators. It would have been perfectly feasible if Roger stayed flatly illuminated throughout the scene like a cartoon normally would, but instead, the animators put in the time to shade every cell uniquely so that the practical light would bounce off from the same way it would a physical object. And they had to account for that dynamically shifting lighting with every contour in Roger's limbs, his clothes, his face, the cast shadow he creates on the environment, as well as the texture of the light, the slightest difference in color temperatures, the lamp sways. Even Roger's ears have a slight translucency since they're much thinner than the rest of his body. They thought of that. Audiences had no expectation for this level of realism in 1988. But all these seemingly superfluous details help sell the effect at a subconscious level. And the best part of this film is that without having noticed any of this, having no technical knowledge of the animation process or the filmmaking has no effect on your enjoyment of Roger Rabbit. It's an incredible film by its own merit. The storytelling, the heart, and the humor, that's where the true movie magic is. But it's those technical subtleties and the dedication to the craft that really inspires new artists. And that's something to be admired. So in your work, always take the chance to bump the lamp, because somebody out there will notice.